This is NPR.
Hey, good morning, everyone. So after decades of technically still being at war, North Korea and South Korean leaders yesterday decided it's time to call the whole thing off and try peace instead. According to a joint declaration issued today, the two countries said they would seek to put a formal stop to the Korean War, which ended in an armistice in 1953. The agreement came after a three-day meeting between the North's Kim Jong-il and the South's leader, Noh Moo-hyung. As part of the deal, the South agreed to help the North build up its infrastructure and other economic developments. The two leaders also agreed to open regular links across their heavily fortified border, known as the Demilitarized Zone, or the DMZ. The announcement came a day after North Korea announced it would disable its main reactor complex by the end of this year. It's the country's firmest commitment yet to ending its nuclear program. In exchange, North Korea will get about 1 million tons of oil. The deal came after intensive six-party talks that included the U.S. and China. The U.S. will send a team to North Korea to oversee the deal in the next couple weeks. And while the military regime in Myanmar begins to release some anti-government protesters after pro-democracy rallies rocked the country last month, military intimidation in the country continues. Troops last night arrested scores of people who tried to prevent soldiers from conducting a raid on a monastery a few days ago and for giving protection to fleeing Buddhist monks. Bowing to international pressure, leaders of the military regime in Myanmar, also known as Burma, have released about 200 nuns and monks over the past couple days. But the regime is still restricting access to the outside world, blocking foreign journalists from the country and severing internet connections. The pro-democracy marches are the largest in the country since an uprising in the late 1980s. The military regime took control of Burma in 1962. So it's happened to all of us, inadvertently replying all to a message intended for a more private audience, and suddenly all your office workers know where you're going to lunch or what you really think of your boss. Well, an errant reply function took on more significance yesterday when a North Carolina businessman sent an email to the Department of Homeland Security. He was replying to a daily anti-terrorism bulletin made up of mostly press reports, and he wanted the bulletin to be sent to a different email address. But because of a programming flaw, when he pressed reply, not even reply all, his response was transformed into a flood of more than 2.2 million messages nationwide that clogged the email accounts of government and private sector experts on security. The accident raised questions about why the Department of Homeland Security would be vulnerable to such a simple yet potentially debilitating accident. I'm Rachel Martin. The news is always online at npr.org. I listen to Nuke.
Pajama Friday, anyone? An actual reply all email that was sent within NPR.
Really?
To the entire national staff. And
I didn't know Robert Siegel wore pajamas.
Yeah, well, you know.
And I have to tell you guys, this made people so angry. They started sending emails saying, stop the insanity. And one guy said a rather harsh curse. May the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your armpits and make a yak in heat make love to your shin. So people were not pleased, really not
because
pleased.
There's the email that shouldn't go out, and then there's the hundreds of responses that also shouldn't go out. It's a vicious
I do cycle. Love the response from a Homeland Security email talks about camels and yak mating on your shins. Where are those
emails
going?
Who knows what the security repercussions of that is?
Rachel Martin, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.